Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. This is our online service. If this is your first time here, we want to give you a big welcome. You can go to mykc.ca to check out about us and to learn more about our ministries. We have prepared a connect card just for you. If you don't mind, you can fill in that connect card at the end of the service, and our pastors will connect with you and we'll love to pray for you. Today is also communion. So if you haven't already, prepare some bread, prepare some juice that we can partake together after the sermon. Today, before we go into worship, I have one reminder or one sharing that I have with you. And I've shared this, I think, maybe 2 weeks ago or a week ago. It's about our posture, how we worship with our posture. Last time I showed you that, I told you that posture reflects your attitude, right? And you know this, when you're going to interview, when you're seeing some important people, you will sit in a certain way and you will stand in a certain way, you will behave a certain way, because posture reflects your attitude, what your heart feels about that situation. But I'll also share with you that posture not only reflects the attitude, it also affects the attitude. As in, when you stand or sit in a certain way, you can tell your heart, you can inform your heart that, hey, this is a joyful situation, this is a happy situation, this is a serious situation, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to ask you to do the same today. Continue to worship, not just with voice, but with your posture. And today I want to show you a posture, a new posture, that is like this: open hands. Open hands. What does this posture tell us about our attitude? Well, open hands and open arms like this, it's a posture of receiving. You can worship like this when somebody's praying for you, when the pastor is blessing you at the end of service. This is a sign of receiving a blessing, receiving a gift, right? But not only this open hands, open arms posture it reflects the heart that, hey, the heart, you want to open up, you want to soften up your heart, because perhaps there's something that you want to change, there's something you want to ask God to help you with, and there's a prayer element that you says, God, I really want to become more like you, I really want to help that person, can you give me strength? This is the posture to do so. So this is the open hands posture. I'm going to ask you to try that as we go on into service in a second. If there's any point in time where you feel like, God, I want you to help me soften my heart, and I want to change, and I want to become like this, you can use this also in the praise section. And definitely when we bless you before we send you out at the end of service, you can use this posture to receive the blessing. So why don't you stand right now? We're going to enter into worship. Let's stand. I'll pray, and then we can enter into singing. Let's pray together. We've been doing the series on the book of Philippians. And one of the key themes of the book of Philippians is that Christ is the center. Christ is the ultimate pursuit of our lives. So much so that Paul was willing to go, to live is for Christ, and to die is gain, because dying helps me see Christ quicker. And God, today as we come into worship, we want to get a taste of what Paul's desire and passion is for Christ. And God, if there's anything inside of our hearts that's fighting against this goal, God, would you help us? Would you help us to soften our hearts and to remove these distractions from us? And God, if there are any things inside our minds that we're thinking right now that is really bothering us, God, I also pray for the Holy Spirit to help us to engage into worship. God, we long to see you. This is why we're here. We long to see you and encounter you in worship today. May you open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes so that we can encounter you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to have you worship with us this morning. Let us lift up our voice to worship our God.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise, the things are yet to come. Oh, there is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that binds us. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stand in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as a lamb. He carries my healing in his hands. Oh, Jesus. There is a name called in times of trouble. There is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice that calms the storms that rages. He is Jesus, oh Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the seas, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as a lamb, he carries my healing in his hands. Oh Jesus, Messiah, my Savior, there is power in your name. You're my rock and my Redeemer. There is power in your name, Messiah, my Savior. There is power in your name. You're my rock and my Redeemer. There is power in your name, in your name. You walk on the water, you speak to the sea, you stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion, you bled as a lamb. You carry my healing in your hands. God, you walk on the waters, you speak to the sea, you stand in the fire beside me. God, you roar like a lion, you bled as a lamb. You carry my healing in your hands. Oh, Jesus. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you, Jesus.
Were creation suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues to lift one cry, then from north to south and east to west we'd hear Christ be magnified. Were the whole earth echoing his eminence, his name would burst from sea and sky, and from rivers to the mountain tops, we'd hear Christ be magnified.
Magnify his name.
Singing, oh, Christ be magnified, and let his praise arise, and Christ be magnified in me. Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. And Christ be magnified in me.
Let's sing.
When every creature finds its inmost melody, and every human heart its native cry, oh, then in one enraptured hymn of praise, we'll sing Christ be magnified. Oh, oh, Christ be magnified, and let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me, singing, oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life, and Christ be magnified in me.
Let's sing this together.
I won't bow to idols. I'll stand strong and worship you. And if it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice cause you're there too. And I won't be formed by feelings. I'll hold fast to what is true. And if the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. And cause death is just a doorway into resurrection life. And if I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing and my song will be the same. Oh, Christ be magnified and let his praise arise. And Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. And Christ be magnified in me.
Let's sing it one more time.
Oh, Christ be magnified and let his praise arise. And Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. And Christ be magnified in me.
With all my strength, my mind, I give you praise. Heart, my soul, I worship you. This life of mine will be an offering. My heart is set on your heavenly kingdom. My treasure is in heaven. My treasure is in you, Jesus. Soul's thirst, but in Jesus, my Lord, I found relief. the living water, flow in each and every part of me. In Jesus, my Lord, I believe. My strength, my mind, I give you praise. With all my heart, my soul, I worship you. This life of mine will be an offering. My heart is set on your heavenly kingdom. My treasure is in heaven. My treasure is in you, Jesus. No earthly possessions could trade my salvation. 'Cause in Jesus, my Lord, I've been set free. All your riches and glory awaits me in eternity. In Jesus, my Lord, I come. Oh, I give you praise. With all my strength, my mind, I give you praise. Oh, to Jesus. With all my heart, my soul, I worship you. Only you. Life of mine will be an offering. My heart is set on your heavenly kingdom. My treasure is in heaven. My treasure is in you, Jesus. Ways. Pursue you in all of my days. 'Cause godliness with contentment is great gain, is great gain. I'll fight the good fight of faith. Hold of the light that you gave. 'Cause godliness with contentment is great gain, is great gain. With all my strength, my mind, I give you praise. Oh, we worship. With all my heart, my soul, I worship you. Only you. This life of mine will be an offering. My heart is set on your heavenly kingdom. My treasure is in heaven. My treasure is in you, Jesus. Oh, my treasure is in heaven. My treasure is in you, Jesus.
Let us pray together. Jesus, having a relationship with you is the treasure we've been searching for all our lives. Nothing on this earth can compare with you and can truly satisfy the deepest yearning of a human heart. Not even one, but only you. Only you that a heart and soul can settle for eternity. Only in you, Jesus. So Lord, as we run this race on this earth in the present time, Lord, let our eyes set upon the heavenly treasures that you have prepared for us. Let each and every part of our being bring glory to your name. And let us fight the good fight of faith and not be conformed by the ways and things of this world, but be renewed every day by your word and your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
For the past 3 weeks, we have been studying Paul's letter to the Philippians. Through this letter, we learn about how not to get stuck, but keep growing as a growing church in adversity. In the first week, we learn about Paul's deep conviction that to live is Christ and to die is gain. We also learn about Paul's ultimate allegiance to Lord Jesus Christ, and his obedience is an active following that knows no limit. Last week, Pastor Carson reminded us how Paul looked at his life as a race, and we are called to take a step closer to God in everything we do. Paul's deep conviction, his allegiance, and his perspective on life has been shaping the church in Philippi on how to live as an unstuck church in the midst of adversity. And as we are coming to the end of this series, church, we want to ask, how about us, the church in 2020? In the midst of the pandemic, how can we as church can move from stuck to shine? How can we as a church in Vancouver can stay strong, strike forward, and let the gospel light shine out in the dark world? Whether in Jerusalem, Antioch, or Philippi, if the early church was able to move from stuck to shine, would today's church be able to do the same? In the midst of the pandemic, how can we as a church move from stuck to shine? When Paul was writing this letter, the Philippian church was actually facing both external and internal tensions. Externally, the Philippians were actually living in the shadow of the Roman Empire. The city of Philippi was located at the Roman colony, where emperor worship was enforced. In order to show your allegiance, every good Roman citizen would proudly proclaim that Caesar is Lord. And you can imagine, following Jesus at Philippi was never easy. On one hand, you were told to proclaim Caesar is Lord. But deep down in your heart, you know what you are supposed to say. Jesus is Lord. And besides the external challenge, there were also internal tensions within the church. The church of Philippi, which was built by Paul, was actually a young church. There was a lot of leaders were young Christian with very diverse background. And you can imagine in such a church how much effort was needed to build unity out of diversity. The way they thought about church, the way they run church could be totally different. And imagine what would happen if these challenges was not overcome. Day by day, the church would get tangled up by this endless argument, and eventually the church would get stuck and then go nowhere. So, how did Paul tackle this? From the letter, we learned that Paul did not just focus on the problem itself. Paul helped them to see a bigger picture. Paul was asking the Philippians, actually, what is church? And how do we define church? Perhaps you have been to church for a long time. How would you answer this question? Maybe you are also an Oikos member. Maybe you are part of a ministry team already.
how do you define church? And if this question is a bit too big to you, let me elaborate and think about it in two key questions. Here are two key questions that everyone at church must answer: the what and the who. What is our top priority, and who is the most important person in our church? What is our priority, and who is the most important person in our church? And these are the key questions that everyone at church must answer. Whether you are leaders or not, you must honestly answer these two questions. And if these two questions are not answered properly, church decline will be just a matter of time. But if these two questions were answered correctly, the church will grow, even in the midst of pandemic, adversity, threats, and challenges. Okay, so let's tackle the first question. What is the top priority in your church? When Paul was dealing with the external tension, Paul instructed the church in Philippi to think in such a way. Chapter 1, verse 27. I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. We always heard at church about the importance of unity. But it seems like no one has ever really defined what unity is supposed to be. And it seems that there are just so many different misconceptions about this word unity. However, in Paul's mind, unity is more than just a slogan. For Paul, unity means that you are able to answer this crucial question: what is the top priority in my church? And in 1:27, Paul stated this very clearly, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. When everyone at church is putting the gospel as their priority, unity will be reached. When everyone is putting the gospel as the priority, unity will be reached. When Paul was dealing with this unity within the church, Paul's message is also the same. Unity is about asking the right question. What is the top priority in my church? In verse 2 of chapter 4, Paul wrote, I entreated Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Laboring side by side in the gospel, this is exactly what Paul wrote earlier in chapter 1. Facing all the tensions in ministry, Paul reminded these two leaders to be united by putting the gospel at the center. When everyone at church is thinking such a way, true unity will be reached, and the church will become unstuck and thrive in adversity. So the answer to this first question, what is the top priority in my church? Advancing the gospel is always the top priority. Advancing the gospel is always the top priority. Nothing more, nothing less. Let me share with you a story just happened recently in Koinonia about Alpha Ministry. It had been our third year running Alpha Ministry at Koinonia. Back in early March, we had our first session around March the 8th, I remember. And for the first time, we host Alpha in our new KMA Koinonia Ministry Center. And we were thankful that we have five tables full of guests, and many of them are seekers. But after that first session, our church entered into level 2, if you still remember. Level 2 means that all Oikos and all Alpha course need to be canceled because of the pandemic. And during the lockdown, we were thinking about all our guests at Alpha, and many of them are seekers or new Christian. And we started to ask, can we do something? we are thinking, can we put Alpha online so that we can continue the ministry? But our first impression that, wow, that's too complicated. Zoom was still a new tool for us way back in March. And we were just wondering, with all those people, our guests, would they be interested to sit in front of Zoom for 12 more weeks, once a week? But after much prayer and consideration and preparation, we decided to go ahead. And our first Alpha was launched online on May the 5th. Besides the 5 servants, we are thankful that 11 guests actually joined. Now, we have gone through almost the whole Alpha course now, and we have only 2 more weeks to go. Even though we have been only meeting online, but we were amazed that, actually, we have some really good discussion every Tuesday night, and some guests actually have already been making decisions about following Jesus. Despite of COVID-19, despite of all the limitation of meeting online, when we put God's mission as the priority, God will open doors, God will give us new opportunity to share the gospel. So, what is the top priority at your church? Advancing the gospel is always the top priority. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, let's come to the second question. Who is the most important person in my church? Who is the most important? Facing all the challenges, Paul reminded the church in such a way, chapter 2, verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. In this verse, Paul used different sets of words to convey the same idea, to be united. But besides simply asking the church to be united, Paul also reminded them in some very practical way. Chapter 2, verse 3. Doing nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. And let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So what is unity? Unity is about putting the needs and well-being of others before your own. Unity is about putting the needs and well-being of the others before your own. The emotional needs, the spiritual needs, the growth in the Lord, all these things are always more important than your own comfort, than your own need. So to answer the second question, who is the most important person in my church? The answer is the others. The well-being of the person in front of me is always more important than my own comfort. His or her spiritual growth in Christ is always at a higher priority than my own convenience. And just imagine, if every Christian is thinking in such a way, true unity will be reached, and then no one can divide. And the church will be thriving and growing in the midst of all the challenges. After listening to all these, perhaps you might have a question. You might wonder, does it mean that I need to be the custodian in order to practice what you just said? Well, I'm not sure how I would answer it, but I think this is what Paul would answer your question. When talking about serving others, Paul gave some really concrete life examples. In chapter 2, verse 5, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Paul taught us to have the same mindset of Jesus. And so what is the mindset of Jesus? Let's take a look at verse 6 to 7. So he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking in the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He emptied himself. Emptying oneself means that we put your status and pride aside. Just like how Jesus put aside his own privilege and pride. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords became a slave. Verse 8 of chapter 2. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So, what is unity? Unity was never just a slogan in the church. Unity was never just a sermon title you preach on Sunday. Unity is about putting the well-being and the needs of others before your own. And Jesus is our example. But perhaps you might ask, well, I know Jesus can do it because he is Jesus. But I'm not Jesus, and I can't do it. Okay, Paul did not just quote one example, actually. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul gave another example. Chapter 2, verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. Here Paul told the church about his plan. If he was proven innocent, he would send Timothy to Philippi. But why Timothy? Let's keep reading, verse 20. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. There was no one except one person who shared the same concern with Paul, and it was Timothy. Genuine concern for your welfare. Timothy cared more about the church at Philippi than his own well-being. Timothy put the needs and well-being of the others before his own. Chapter 2, verse 21. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. This verse is always a good reminder for all of us. Do we seek only our own personal interests and ignore the needs and well-being of the others? So this is an example of Timothy. He shared the same concern, the same mindset with Paul by putting God's mission and the gospel as the priority, by emptying himself for the well-being of the others. In order to answer our key question, Paul did not just give us some second-hand example about Jesus, about Timothy. In fact, if we read this whole letter, we will see that Paul himself is also an example about putting the gospel at the top priority. And he's also an example about emptying himself for the well-being of the others. At the first chapter of this letter, Paul wrote, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. What has happened to Paul has really served to advance the gospel. Even when he was in prison, Paul did not forget the gospel and the ministry. His main concern is not about when he would be released, but how to advance the gospel even when he was chained, even when he was in prison. And Paul the Apostle did not just get stuck, but continue to shine. And let's revisit his deep conviction, which we had just studied earlier in chapter 1, verse 20. But that, with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. And Paul kept on saying, my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. If Paul had a choice, if he had a choice, he would rather be with the Lord right away. But he is willing to remain and continue this earthly journey for just one purpose, for your progress and joy in the faith. For your progress and joy in the faith. loving Jesus, for Paul, is never just a slogan. And letting Christ to be honored in my life is not just a sermon title. All these things need to be put to action. So let's go back to our two key questions once again. What is our top priority? And who is the most important person? As for Paul, the answer is definite. Advancing the gospel is a top priority. And for the spiritual growth of others, Paul is willing to walk the second mile. And in this letter, Paul did not just give out model answers to those key questions. He also gave out three real-life examples. First, the life example of Jesus who emptied and humbled himself. Second, the life example of Timothy who seek the interest of Jesus and genuinely concern the welfare of the church at Philippi. Paul also used his own life and examples. Always let Christ be honored in his own body, no matter by life or by death. So from Jesus to Paul and from Paul to Timothy, all these examples are connected. They are all about putting the gospel at the top priority. They are all about emptying himself for the sake of others. Now, as we conclude this whole teaching series, after listening to all these teachings from the book of Philippians, let me end with two important challenges from this letter. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Chapter 4, verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. What I have taught and what you have learned, what I have shared with you and what you have received, what I have written to you and what you have listened, what I have demonstrated in front of you and what you have been seeing me doing. Paul told the Philippians just one thing. What you have seen in me, all you need to do is imitate, which means to follow, to copy. The main point is practice these things. Church, you don't really need to tell your pastor, oh, your preaching is really inspiring. You don't need to tell him, yes, I have learned a lot from your sermon. All you need to do is to tell your pastor, yes, I want to practice what you just preach. I want to practice what you just preach. Dear brothers and sisters, what is your mind when you go to church? What is in your mind when you go to church? If you are still thinking, what works best for me? Or what is more convenient to my family? Or does the church really meet my needs or my whole family? Perhaps you are still thinking like a consumer rather than a worshiper. Perhaps you still don't grasp the true meaning of going to church. And at the end, besides sharing the example of Jesus about Paul and Timothy, let me share with you one more example from what I have seen right here at Koinonia. It is not just someone else's story, but a real person I'm working with. And his name is Pastor Wilbur Fong. For our staff team, most of our weekly meetings fall on Monday, usually from 9:30 all the way until 4:30. And due to COVID-19, all meetings have gone online and we have been Zooming every hour on Monday. And Wilbur has to be at every single meeting to organize. So Zooming for 7 straight hours is a norm for all of us. But for Wilbur, that's not the end. For the past years, actually, me and Wilbur have been co-leading the English Oikos, which meets on Monday evening. So when English Oikos is finally done around 9:30, Wilbur will have been in Zoom meeting for almost 12 hours since 9:30 a.m. So that's his Monday schedule. Let's talk about Friday evenings. Around February this year, one of the Oikos leader was not able to continue leading because of the job adjustment. So Pastor Wilbur decided to join and just check this Oikos out. And when he joined, he noticed that all the group members are really eager to learn. And they are really prepared every Friday to come and learn about discipleship. But he also noticed one thing. Well, there are two group leaders. So one is gone. So the one left is a brother. But almost the rest of the Oikos are all female. So eventually, Pastor Wilbur decided to stay and co-lead this Oikos with the other brothers. So that is Friday evening. But the story did not just end here. About 2 months later, around April, the pastoral team noticed that there are around 8 brothers and sisters has just joined our church right before the pandemic. They were really eager to experience this Oikos small group journey. So Pastor Ava and Pastor Wilbur started a 4-week pre-Oikos for them on Wednesday. After 4 weeks, those brothers and sisters were really eager to continue the journey. So when the pastoral team met again, they decided to launch a new Oikos to be led by Pastor Ava. But when they were just brainstorming about who can serve as a co-leader, they couldn't think of anyone. And eventually, Pastor Wilbur was assigned to co-lead this new Oikos every Wednesday evening. So from Monday to Friday and Wednesday, he has Oikos. But the story did not just end here. At the end of May, the Oikos started studying the book of Jeremiah. Since we were studying a challenging book in the Old Testament, the pastoral team would like to better prepare all the Oikos leaders. So eventually, a weekly pre-study was planned for the leaders. And guess what time was picked? It's Tuesday evening. And besides Pastor Sherian, and guess who else is leading the pre-study? Pastor Wilbur. So from Monday to Friday to Wednesday and now Tuesday, this becomes the fourth evening Wilbur is leading Oikos. You would say, what? 4 Oikos a week? That's a lot. Can you imagine? It's crazy, right? It's tiring too. But don't forget, besides all the evenings, Pastor Wilbur still has to come to office during the day to fulfill his assignments. So he is just working like all others. He's also at every single worship recording on Saturday as well. So it is really, really challenging. But I don't want to give you an impression that Pastor Wilbur is just an exception. In fact, Pastor Joshua is also totally immersed in the pastoral ministry in every way, big and small. And because of the way Pastor Wilbur and Pastor Joshua is serving and leading, each of the 7 pastors and the whole staff team is actually serving in the same manner, even in the midst of COVID-19. When the team comes together every time, we will ask, is there anything else that we can be doing for the brother and sister? How can we walk the extra miles for Jesus and the gospel? At the end of this message, let me use the word of the Apostle Paul to encourage and challenge you once again. Join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Church, don't just concern how much time and strength you have. Don't simply think of your own interests. Instead of getting stuck, church, there's so much more we can do, even in the midst of COVID-19. And after sharing all these stories, I'm not asking you to just carbon copy what Pastor Wilbur is doing. But in the midst of this pandemic, I do want to invite you to think about your own situation. How are you using your spare time? Maybe your evenings. And I want to challenge you today to set aside just one evening maybe per week, starting from making phone calls and reaching out to your friends. Maybe you can call it a Friendship Friday or a Mission Monday, to care for their needs, to pray for them, and to share the good news. Do you think it's possible? Do you think it's workable? Just one evening per week. From stuck to shine, church. Let's don't get stuck. And let the gospel light shine in our community. And let's practice what we have learned. Ask the Lord to change our mind. And ask the Lord to transform our heart with a heart of servant. Now, please stand and let's respond to God's word through worship.
My Jesus, my Lord, you're the love of my life. Wherever you go, wanna be by your side. No longer I, but Christ living in me, serving you for all eternity. My eyes set on you in this race that I run. No longer my way, let your will be done. Make me a servant, my heart's ever true. Clinging to the cross, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. Standing in all of your grace, setting my feet in your ways, entering into your presence to behold you face to face. God of all heaven and earth, holding me in your embrace, unfailing love that surrounds me. Oh God, I stand amazed. My Jesus, my Lord, you're the love of my life. Wherever you go, wanna be by your side. No longer I, but Christ living in me, serving you for all eternity. My eyes set on you in this race that I run. No longer my ways, let your will be done. Make me a servant, my heart ever true. Clinging to the cross, I'll follow you. My Jesus, my Lord, you're the love of my life. Wherever you go, wanna be by your side. No longer I, but Christ living in me, serving you for all eternity. My eyes set on you in this race that I run. No longer my ways, let your will be done. Make me a servant, my heart's ever true. Clinging to the cross, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. Make me a servant, my heart's ever true. Clinging to the cross, I'll follow you. I'll follow you.
When Jesus' disciples asked Jesus about, how can I become greater? They asked Jesus, how can I become greater in the kingdom of God? Jesus replied them, if you want to be great, go be the lowest one in the kingdom. Go be the servant in the kingdom. Go be the least of these and serve the least of these, and you will be great in the kingdom. And church, the calling today is still the same. That we put our priority on the gospel and what we put our focus on other people, not ourselves. We become a servant to serve others. Amen. And church, I don't want you to miss this. This is such an honor. This is such an honor to be called a servant of God. This is such an honorable calling to be called a servant of God. Servant of the God Most High, servant of the Creator of the universe, servant of the one who was raised from the dead. Come on, this is such an honorable calling. So, church, this is our time to respond to Him. If throughout the series you've been thinking about somebody, if you've been thinking about those other people that you want to serve, this is your moment to reach out to them, to connect to them, and to care about them, and to serve them. And may God grant you wisdom and knowledge and strength and compassion as you reach out to those people. Amen. And may His Holy Spirit guide you in the words that you have to speak and how you can make Jesus known in this person's life. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
The communion is open to all who receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, at the night when He was betrayed, He took bread, He gave thanks, He broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." So now, let's partake the cup and the bread together. So now, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for what you have done on the cross. We thank you for what you have been obedient, even to the point of death. We thank you for being so generous to loving all of us. So Lord, in this morning, I pray that you will help us to follow you with a heart of servant. Help us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now, let's continue worship through offering. And I would like to encourage you to keep practicing generosity, just as what we did back in the month of May during the Reaching Out campaign. You can use the QR code on screen and do online offering, or you can mail the offering check to Koinonia Ministry Center as well. May God continue to teach us how to give, how to care, and how to be more generous. And as we conclude this series on Philippians, we will be launching a new series called The Dark Side of a Legend. We'll talk about heroes, actually. When we think about heroes, we'll think about people intelligent, fearless, and then full of justice. But have you thought about that heroes are actually also ordinary person? They would be having mistake. They would have evil thoughts. And some heroes would even commit crimes. And how could God be deal with those people? On one hand, they are supposed to be example of the others, but they are also imperfect. So in our new series called The Dark Side of Legend, we will be studying the true story of one hero in the Old Testament. He was a king, he was a husband, he was a father, but he was also a person who failed many times. So join us online in the next 4 Sundays and find out who he is. I would like to share with you another announcement, which is about our YouTube channel. Do you know that since the end of March, our children ministry team has been producing a lot of different worship videos for the kids? In fact, they are preparing 3 different videos every week. One for the toddlers, one for the preschoolers, and one for the elementary kids as well. So if you have children at the home between age 2 and around 10, I would like to invite you to check out all our wonderful Kapos content in our YouTube channel. What you need to do is just go to YouTube and search My KEC, and then you will find our page. And then you just scroll down a little bit to the middle, and then you will find 3 different playlists. One for the toddlers, one for the preschoolers, and one for the elementary kids as well. As we conclude today's worship, let me bless you with the Word of God, taken from the last chapter of Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So that concludes today's Sunday worship. So have a good week, and we'll see you next Sunday.